This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
CBS Wednesday.
We have so many cool, diverse people from different backgrounds, different beliefs, different upbringings, and it just keeps growing.
I'm a citizen of the United States.
I'm a hustler.
I'm a big Taylor Swift fan.
I'm the queen of the tribe.
I'm a survivor.
I am playing whatever role I gotta play.
I'm gonna play this game full speed.
I ain't going down like no punk.
A new Survivor Wednesday on CBS and streaming on Paramount Plus.
David Eichel, Sean Bock, HawkeyeInsider.com, Instant Reaction Swarmcast for. You know, the announcement on Monday that has kind of set Hawkeye Twitter and our message board into a frenzy. Insert the SpongeBob GIF of all of them running everywhere and everything on fire. Very interesting timing on this, Sean, because this entire thing, it was supposed to come out Friday, and then it got delayed till Monday. So it wasn't anything pressing, but it wasn't exactly a Friday news dump. But Brian Ferentz is officially going to stay at Iowa for the 2023 season. I know we'd been speculating all offseason that, you know, he might take an NFL gig. And while that was realistically in the cards for a while, Iowa's not only betting on themselves, doubling down, they're tripling down. But with Brian Ferentz's amendments, let's just go through the very basic generic version of this, right? It includes salary of $850,000, which took in effect on February 1st. Now that's $50,000 less than he received this past season. But there's designated performance objectives for the season that include an average of at least 25 points per game and a minimum of 7 wins. Now, the 7 wins includes the bowl game as well. If the objectives are met, the contract will return to the prior 2-year rolling agreement along with a 1-year lump sum bonus and base salary adjustment. If the performance objectives are not hit, Sean, the contract would be terminated next summer, but he could always sign another one as well. So very short kind of amendments, Sean, but a lot to dive into. So I'll the floor is yours. Let's talk about it.
Yeah. I mean, it was one of those things where I kind of read it and I was like, okay, like this makes sense. Like I totally understand it. And then you read the further details that they gave us in the attachment, which is something that I thought was really interesting. And it's almost like, okay, we know, like, it's obvious that the offense was a problem this year. Obviously, there's more than the coaching that goes into it. But, you know, and they said, hey, like, now it's either obviously the put up or shut up thing, as we talked about in the last podcast. And I think it's a good thing that they're putting it in writing. But I think one of the things that doesn't make a whole lot of sense is, you know, how, like, can you totally, like, enforce this bar? I mean, yes, it's in the contract, but say what if, like, Iowa averages, like, 10-7 defensive, like, special teams points per game? And I think that's something that has to be, that maybe could have been addressed. Maybe say, hey, you know, 21 offensive points per game. Something along those lines. It just doesn't, it doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me in that way. But I think when you look at this contract, look at this amendment, I think Iowa felt like they were making a point, being like, okay, like we understand if this doesn't work, you know, then we're going to look at other options. And they mentioned that when they said, you know, if they don't meet the qualifications, they'll terminate the contract. But if it does work, then, you know, we'll give them 2 more years. And I think that is something that, you know, I think they did good on it, but I understand why people are questioning, you know, the numbers that they did. And obviously Kirk gave that stat the other day, or, you know, last week when they're 55-3, when they, you know, post a certain amount of points. And, you know, I think that's valid to follow that. I didn't think that they would use it to that degree, which I thought was pretty interesting that, you know, it was in that contract too. Maybe it was a little bit of foreshadowing, but it just, yeah, I mean, I get it. I get why people are frustrated, but I also think Iowa did good on it having a backbone, but I totally understand why, you know, there would be frustration about the certain numbers that were present. And, you know, it just does set a low bar. It really does set a low bar. 7 wins, I mean, that's including bowl season, am I correct?
Yeah, it is, and that's really, really bad. I mean, especially like you said, I think you summed up best when you said, yeah, Kirk was very proud of that 8 win stat. Well, was it 1 of 5 schools since the 2015 season that they've won at least 8 or more games in that? Obviously, 2020 excluded when Iowa went 6-2. But with that team, Sean, you were here, they would have won 8 games had it been a normal season. I mean, that team was rolling, especially in the final 6 games of the year. But you can't do that and then say, but I just want to make sure, state perfectly clear, 8 wins is not the goal. It's not the goal. And then in the performance objective, Sean, it's 7 wins. That to me, that's just saying Iowa fans are idiots. And I think a lot of people are so frustrated about it because Iowa Twitter is very passionate about their athletic programs. That's been very made abundantly clear. But the rest of the country at times, especially rivals that have won national titles and stuff, Sean, have jabbed at them saying, Iowa, where's where you go to strive for mediocrity? You know, where mediocrity, it's okay. And Iowa fans have always pushed back on it. But with these objective performance-based objectives, Sean, it kind of reinforces the point about people that are actually saying that to Iowa. And obviously, Iowa's not doing that. Like, that they don't strive for that. But this gives them more ammo. And let's look at the stats here, right? We mentioned the 7 wins. We mentioned the offensive numbers, right? Let's take a look at last year. There were 85 teams in Division I that averaged at least 25 points per game. I believe 82 teams qualified for the bowl games, and 64 teams won at least 7 games, including the bowl season, while scoring at least 25 points per game. That's barely in the top 50% of overall Division I. Like, for a program that has elite defense, elite special teams, and again, is 1 of 5 programs since 2015, win 8 or more games every year, that's just really setting up to kind of give Brian Ferentz a pass here. I just don't think the goals were high enough. I think the 25 points per game should have been offensive points. You can include field goals, obviously. But with as much as Iowa's defense and special team scores, Sean, it really does set a low bar to me. And I think Iowa fans have a right to be pretty frustrated about it.
Yeah, it sets a low bar. And, you know, I think Iowa's going to put up more points this year, and especially with Kay McNamara there. And then with the offensive line improvement, mm-hmm. I think that's going to be a big step in the right direction. But just, I feel like setting that precedent and making it public, well, I understand, like, why they would make all that public, because, you know, if someone were to find out that, you know, Iowa did this under wraps, then imagine that whole Fran McCaffrey situation from a couple years ago where they quietly gave him a extension, or what is extension, yeah, and more money, and that blew up in Iowa's face when, you know, the contract was obtained. Yeah. And now you're looking at this situation. Obviously, you know, I just think the precedent is really odd, you know, that they're setting it at a certain amount. Maybe there's more to the story that we don't understand. And, you know, there's a certain reason behind it. I mean, obviously, Kirk's stat that he gave out the other day, you know, makes a lot of sense now. But, you know, the way that it's not offensive points, I think, is something. And, you know, how obtainable is it? I think this offense is going to take a step forward. But are they averaging 25 points per game? I don't know. Like, you know, how are they going to measure it? Obviously,
yeah,
you play against Utah State.
Exactly.
And you're going to put up points in that game. So,
I mean, are they? Because, and the only reason why I'm bringing it up, Sean, is because you look at Iowa, they want to average 25 points. Remember how bad Nevada was this past year and they gave up, what, 56 points to Incarnate Word? Iowa put up 27 points against Nevada.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, I don't know. It's a weird dynamic that I never really felt, you know. I think the one thing that they did good on it though is like, hey, if this doesn't happen, like the contract is terminated. Now what does that fully mean? I don't know. Like,
yeah.
But it's just a very odd thing that, you know, doesn't make, like, this is going to be a talking point the entire, like, it was already gonna be a talking point if Brian was gonna say, you know, what happens, but you know, this just like puts so much on the line with every game. Like, if you're up 35 points, you know, Scott Dotsman just put out a funny tweet saying that victory formation has officially been taken out of the playbook. But on a serious note, like, what precedent does that set? Like,
the chilling new original docuseries on Paramount Plus.
Why did he kill his family? The answer lies across the ocean in a woman named Sylvie.
She's a can model.
Where desire leads to deception.
I ended up spending $12,000 and $15,000 a day.
It was addictive.
I can't get you out.
And obsession leads to murder.
Who did this to your family?
You can't really maintain a fantasy forever.
Control Alt Desire. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
Now streaming on Paramount Plus. Gather your besties.
We are very exclusive.
And get ready.
Mom, go make snacks.
For sure, Regina. Yeah.
For the movie that hits like a bus. In a good way.
No one died.
Mean Girls. Rated PG-13. Now streaming on Paramount Plus.
You know, how, if you, going into the mind of a player, you know, what precedent does that set for you? I mean, I guess you don't think about it, but it's something that's all, that's going to be brought up. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
You know, you I get it. Like, you know, the objective is to win football games, and to do that, you have to have good, I mean, Iowa proved that this year. You didn't have to have good offense, but you know, you have to be efficient. You have to put points on the board. And I get it. Like, the objective of a game is to win. And, you know, that's great. And that's what is, you know, that's why games are played. But, you know, I just feel like it's weird setting it at that amount.
It's, and yeah, yep.
I don't know. Like, I'm not trained enough in this stuff to like really fully understand why. I think it sets a precedent.
Yeah.
It sets a mark that fans can be like, okay, this is what we expect. But what is it really expecting?
The other thing too is, and I brushstroked it last week when we talked about this, Sean, but why is there so much more pressure on Phil Parker and LeVar Woods to do their jobs than Brian? And that's where the dynamic, I don't think it's like this anywhere else in the country. And this is obviously, you know how much I hate hypotheticals, but this one kept coming back to me, and it's something I want to present to you because I have my opinion on it. If Phil Parker and LeVar Woods were top 30 coordinators and not top 5 coordinators, and Brian's offense stays where it's at, does Brian still have a job right now?
I mean, I don't think so. I mean, Iowa doesn't win 6 games this year if they don't have the defense or even that level of defense or special teams. They don't make it to a bowl game.
Yeah. Yeah, I agree with you. And that's where the whole dynamic is so messed up in my head because, look, I hate sitting here acting like I'm in charge of, you know, making these decisions. But the one thing I've always come back to and the thing that has infuriated Iowa fans that we've heard from specifically is what's the reason why Brian still is employed? And it's something that, you know, the media members have asked Kirk about multiple times last week, just say, hey, what does he do that we're not seeing? And he kept lumping the coordinators together. He kept kind of dodging and deflecting. And I think that's what makes fans feel like Kirk and the athletics department and everybody else, they don't think highly of them. And that, you know, and I think that's what really infuriates them. And the other thing, Sean, that I don't want to see, and I don't think any Iowa fan wants to see, obviously, if they improve the offense, all is going to be well and good. People are going to be happy. They're winning games, right? That ultimately, that is the goal. That's what they want to do. They want to go back to the Big Ten championship. Cade McNamara has been very public. They want to do everything he can to put Iowa back in the Big Ten title. But if they put up 40-plus points against Western Michigan, against Utah State, like, I don't want to see huffing and puffing or people championing, like, oh, this is why Brian came back or whatever. Like, that's not the point of this. And again, I don't think specifically right now that they're not going to be able to use personnel as an excuse. And I said last week, and I've told you, Sean, again, they had a lot of validity behind that. And I completely under, especially on the offensive line. Like, there are certain things George Barnett cannot control. I never bought stock into people that didn't want him to come back. I thought it was ludicrous just considering the situation he was thrown in, and he's recruited at a high level and he's respected behind the scenes. The pressure is going to be on the offensive line to improve, but Caleb Johnson's going to take a big step forward. I think they need to land another, you know, a wide receiver out of the portal. And it was put up or shut up time last year, but this is like, what trajectory is the program going to go in? It's not put up or shut up. It's like, this season is going to dictate a lot about the future of Iowa football. Because again, after this year, Sean, the divisions go away. If Iowa wants to win a Big Ten title, this is the most likely year in the next few years, in my opinion, just given how the Big Ten conference is going to change as a whole.
Right. Yeah, no, I agree wholeheartedly with you. And, you know, what you said makes a lot of sense. And, yeah, I mean, I think this is the year they can do it. I mean, Wisconsin, I think, will be good. They're going to have got, you know, it's going to be a different team, and we'll see how they kind of mesh. Illinois will be solid, though they lose a couple key pieces. I think quarterback's a big question for them, even though they got Luke Altmaier from Ole Miss. Nebraska will probably be a similar Nebraska team as they were last year. Minnesota, I think, will be okay. Northwestern, I think, will be better. But, you know, it's just like – it just sets a weird mark going into the season. Like, this is going to be the storyline that – I mean, it already was a storyline that enters the year. But yeah, this is going to be the talk of the entire season. And, you know, how do you measure success? I mean, obviously you measure success winning games. If Iowa wins 9 games, I think a lot of people are happy. I think if they win 8 games, it's crazy the difference between 8 and 9 wins. Now I think you got to set it at, okay, Big Ten championship if you make it there or not. I think it's Big Ten West or not Big Ten West. And a lot of people thought we were crazy for saying that last year. But, I mean, look at the numbers. If the offense was there like we were expecting it to be, that team would have been in Indianapolis.
No question. No question. They were almost a Cooper DeJean injury away from being there.
Yeah. No, I agree. And, you know, I think this year is the same expectation. And I think wins obviously are going to go a long way with that. I mean, they will go the whole way with that. And I think offensive success, I don't know how good the defense is going to be this year. I think they'll be good. I mean, I know they'll be good. I don't think they'll be as elite. You know, if they get a guy like Nick Jackson at the middle linebacker spot, that would be huge. And I think it could be a big help. I think the defensive line is going to be deeper. I think the secondary overall, you know, is younger, but I think it's going to be pretty talented. And that middle linebacker unit's a big question mark, or just the linebacker in general. If they get Jackson, I feel better about it. But, you know, it's just like I think the offense – you know, I wouldn't be surprised if Brian's back for another season. I think this offense can average more. I think the offense can average more than they did last year. But I just see it being very close. I think it's going to be more efficient. It's not going to – I don't know how explosive it's going to be. But I think it'll be more efficient, I think, especially with an offensive line. But it's like, what happens if, you know, those injuries come up again? God forbid that happens. But, you know, do you set another? Like, what if like, just, you know, there's – I mean, it was like in the contract. There's so many what ifs to this entire situation that – watching it unfold is going to be, I mean, we're going to have no doubt in my mind, we're going to have a tracker on our message board, you know, updating it every game, what the average points per game is. And it's going to be, you know, there's going to be a lot of content, you know, throughout the year, and national pundits are obviously going to, you know, adore it. But on a serious note, it's like,
yeah,
what expectations are you setting for this offense? And, you know, do you see Brian coming back for another year after this?
Sean, I can tell you this. You talk about the point tractor. I was already told by somebody that Brian Ferentz pointtracker.com has been registered.
No already. Way.
I don't think there's a site set up yet, but I was told that that's been. So, I mean, this is going to be a huge talking point throughout the year. And I almost feel bad for this team because maybe it changes when the fall, summer and fall come around, Sean. But the focus of this team right now, it's not on the team. It's on Brian Ferentz.
Right.
And that kind of, from a media perspective, that sucks. Like, there's going to be a lot of really, really cool stories. There's going to be fun games. Like, I hope people don't ignore the season just solely because of Brian, if that makes sense. Because there'll be a lot of cool stories, a lot of really talented players, and guys that, you know, might have to make a legitimate NFL decision to leave early or not. So, I mean, are they going to focus on Brian, or are they going to focus on the guys that are, you know, in the black and gold that might end up leaving the NFL early, and then right before they know it, they're gone. So it'll be – no doubt it's going to be very interesting. The scheme's not going to be overhauled, but you bring in two transfers on the offensive line. There's a lot of optimism that Logan Jones can take a big jump. I'm on board with that as well. I think he has a chance to really, really make a big jump. If the offensive line's there, if Cade McNamara is 100% healthy, you have Caleb Johnson, you have great tight end duo. It's going to be about the development of the wide receivers. And if Iowa's going to take some shots downfield a time or two, and if they're going to go back to utilizing the play action. So I think fans, even with Brian's return, I still think there are reasons to be excited about what they can do. And as frustrated as they are that Brian is coming back, I've always said you have to differentiate Brian coming back and how Iowa's utilized the portal. There's still a lot of good things Kirk and them have done this offseason so far that should lead to some optimism. It shouldn't all be about the Brian decision. They've done some good things, and I think people need to understand how to separate those things.
Yeah, but it's only going to be about the Brian situation. Yep. That's literally all it's going to be about. And yeah, I mean, I'm sure we'll get an explanation about it at some point. I don't know when the next media availability will be, or, you know, if there's a sort of a statement that's released about it, but yeah, no, I'm interested to hear more on it. And I'm interested to hear, you know, in the next couple of weeks, how people kind of feel about it. And like you said, you know, things, you know, they show up in Big Ten games and, you know, they're averaging more than 25 points per game and, you know, comfortably, then, I mean, I don't think they'll do it comfortably. I think it'll be pretty close, but you know, it all this goes away. And I think the personnel is there to have a successful year. But, you know, it's just like, it just sets an odd precedent that, you know, it's something that, you know, I've never really seen. I mean, I know it's happened before, but that's more so incentives to, you know, get a raise, not incentives to potentially be fired.
Yeah, I'm with you on
that. At least public ones, too.
I can tell you this, the thing I'm definitely going to do is I'm going to go reach out to Gary just to try to get some clarity on if it's 25 points per game as a whole, or if there's a certain mark that the offense has to hit. I know it's a small discrepancy, but it's been a lot of, obviously that was something that stuck out to me when I first read the amendments, as it did to several others. So if I get a chance to get clarified with Gary, I'm going to be able to do that. So, Sean, I know we could keep talking about this for hours, but we already know that we're going to be talking about this for a lot of the offseason, so I think I'll spare you and I, and we'll cut it. We'll talk more about the basketball team here in the near future. Iowa, obviously, starting to get back going. A very odd team this year. I really don't know how much more we know now than we did in November. 7-0 against the teams that are better than 500 in the conference. 0-5 against teams in conference that are 500 or worse. Maybe it sets up well for the NCAA tournament. Maybe it doesn't, but still definitely an odd team, but it's good to see different pieces step up. So David Eichel, Sean Bock, follow us on Twitter at David Eichel, at SBock247, and stay locked in to HawkeyeInsider.com for the latest.
If you want to win your fantasy football league, it starts right now. The offseason is the best time to get ahead of the competition. We'll help you win your league on the Fantasy Football Today podcast, part of CBS Sports Podcast Network. Fantasy Football Today has 3 episodes every week following the latest news, giving you early rankings, early sleepers, breakouts, and busts, So if you're a dedicated fantasy football manager, check out the most dedicated podcast, Fantasy Football Today. Download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere podcasts are found.